Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and this is a World News Tuesday. But Mr. Mark Palmer is not joining us this morning. This morning I have Mr. Ian Munning sitting in. Good morning, sir.
That's a good morning, Erin.
Good to see you.
Pleasure to be here.
This is great. We get to practice chafing. I don't have on my Rowan shirt today, but it's great to sit with you in another venue so we can get used to each other.
The intellectual.
Because we're having these conversations on Mr. Newry's show. It's great to have you here. Mr. Newry is very protective of his guest people.
The intellectuals are in the building.
He don't let me rough him up on his segment, but today I get to rough him up. And we got an awesome topic this morning. Now listen, guys, I know that there is lots in the news. Today we're talking about the Labor on the Blocks event.
2.0.
Labor on the Blocks 2.0. But before we get there, it's some things. Yesterday was National Heroes Day, Mr. Munnings. I am a very big proponent of public holidays. I love them. I think we should have more. We need more.
But that indicates that the children will be out of school more.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's all right with y'all, children. I with y'all. Now, the parents, of course, and the employers are not very happy with this idea. And so I'm willing to compromise. I wanted to add another national holiday, a public day of commemoration. I think it's important that we honor our ancestors, right? Like we have a day to honor those who have died, who have passed, right? But in particular, those who have died to violence, unnecessary violence, extreme, heinous violence, right? Mm-hmm. And have died during natural disasters. And so I wanted to do something in September, but then the Queen, you know, she preempted me. Because, I mean, she's fancy. She's queen. And so I'm thinking National Heroes Day would be a great day to expand, right, to include the indigenous people who would have been slaughtered, right, in the genocide when Columbus touched land, and all the way down to the victims of natural disasters, the victims of violence, in particular, like, sex trafficking and human trafficking, smuggling, death on the sea, right? And I think National Heroes Day would be a great day to expand, right? To put that there. Because in many cases, those people are our heroes, right? Those who would have died, like our four fallen soldiers in the HMBS Flamingo, mm-hmm. right? Like these are the things that I'm thinking about. When I'm thinking about national...
For a country to remember them.
Right. You know, we think about the parents, with the increase in gun violence, we think about the families. Like, the young man, this wasn't gun violence, but the young boy that protected his little brother from the speeding car, right? Mm-hmm. Those who put their lives in harm's way to protect others. These are the people I'm thinking about when I think about a day to honor the dead. A day to honor our ancestors, a day to honor the victims of violence. But yesterday was National Heroes Day. And we're not necessarily talking about that today,
right,
except for this. I think that in this time, we're still in a pandemic, right? We're still in a COVID world. Those that worked tirelessly, those that never stopped working.
On the front lines.
Right. And on the front lines of their homes, right? On the front lines of their communities,
on the front lines of
The work and their employment, the front lines in the country. These are the people that should definitely be honored, you know, in our National Heroes Day. And since we're talking about Labor on the Blocks 2.0, you know, I think that's a, I want to mention that. I can try and find a space maybe tomorrow, later in the week, to talk about it. National Heroes Day was yesterday. The AMMC, that's the Antiquities, Monuments, Museums Corporation, has a wonderful series, video series out called the Heritage Holidays Series. And they released volume 2 in that series, I think yesterday, this weekend, called for National Heroes Day. Now, y'all can find that at facebook.com/AMMCB/. That's their Facebook page.
Was it played on ZNS?
Now, I'm not sure if it was played on ZNS. I can be honest with you. I was busy doing public holiday things. Like not waking. You sound like you're asking me to wake yesterday. I was not waking. And so I just want to say, before we move on to our second segment, some questions arose, though. Now, I know it was a wonderful event. I see the pictures, particularly with our precious pearls. Remember, Algernon Allen created that term, our precious pearls. Those are our older Bahamians, right? That mm-hmm. we treasure. We know we have an obligation to keep safe. So I know it was a good event because they came out in their fineries to receive their honors. And that's always great. But I got some questions to ask. Like, was the actual amount of people honored 240? Were 240 Bahamians honored at this event this weekend? And is it because we didn't honor anybody
for a long time?
Right, because of COVID?
I think that would have been the situation.
A part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing that 3 years we basically were locked down and coming out of the post-COVID, like you're saying, you're looking at the persons that events, the triumphs of events that should have took place.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. So now is the time to say, hey, let's do it all in one thing.
240 isn't that bad.
No, it isn't bad. Well, after 3 years, it isn't bad.
I just want to say, who is Sir Durward Knowles' agent? Because, you know, he's been honored numerous times in numerous spheres over the last few years. But he got two honors on this year's list, right? I just want to know who's his agent so I could know what I need to do to qualify for that. Right? Which leads me to an even more important point. Where are the bios? Where are the bios for the honorees? See, I could have cleared that question up about Sir Durward long time if I had the bio and I would have read the bio and I would have been so impressed.
And the things that he would have contributed to the country.
Right, that I would have been like, give him another one. Don't watch nothing, give him another mm-hmm. one. But for people, particularly young people with lesser proximity to the history, to the lived experiences of these people, we need bios.
But I think that becomes a major situation in our country in terms of, even from the educational standpoint, we are more aware of what's happening internationally than we are locally. And a lot of those children, like when we were growing up, we know we got the book that had Samilo Butler. If you ask who is Samilo today to the younger generation, they may not even know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, they may not know what the struggles were. They may not know as a people these guys that look like you. They transform things from at that point to what it is now. And that is a part of history that needs to be educated. These people need to know who these heroes are.
Yeah.
And I was considering, for me, I had an opinion, and you know, I said some time back, I said, you know, in Cuba they have a wall that's called the Malacung Wall. I said, here in the Bahamas, we have the sports center, you know, where the racing cars are
the track.
They had a wall there. I said, why not let's replica that wall on both sides, right? Let's stretch that wall all the way past where they had those debris, dumping. Yeah. And let's use the artists in the country, with using artistry, to put the faces of our heroes on that wall.
In fact, let's take it a step further. Let's couple artists with students or artists with schools.
Definitely.
Right? Let the school compete with the students for the best story for the mural. So they pick a historical figure. They put together a story, and then they're paired with an artist to create their portion of the history mural on that long wall.
But this is why you had an intellectual weekend dialogue like this. This happens.
We got somebody on the line. I think they want to join this conversation. Good morning. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Godly days is the dark and away, so long with you and your guests are pretty eyes here in green.
Don't worry, Brayman. From the darkness comes the light. And just because of you today, I promise to find something positive every day, right?
Well, thank God for that.
And looking at you with that reminded me that I can't beat up on BPL, not the whole thing. Just like I tell the boy the other day, you could beat your head against the Constitution. It don't make any sense, you know?
Well, you are on point every morning, God's send. At least every time I listen to you, you'll be on point. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
But what I want to find out, right?
Yes, sir.
What constitutes a the name just got away from me.
What were you talking about?
Right.
A hero. What's the criteria to become a national hero, right?
Right.
That's another thing that we need listed. Thank you, Brayman.
Yeah, man. We need it because some of those names which I've heard, they're not national heroes.
I got you. And I appreciate what you're saying, Brayman. Let me smooth it out, though, because we got to smooth that one out a little bit. This question of criteria, I had Mr. Stanley Mitchell on with me on Friday on the sports segment, and we were talking about that in the context of the sporting halls of fame in the Bahamas, right? And the process of designating or choosing honorees for the annual Hall of Fame induction. And that's a very big point that you make, Brayman. And we do those that have been honored a disservice if we allow...
Anybody.
Conversation where, oh, they really is a hero. What did they do? Or, well, what about so-and-so? They did more. There should be a...
But that's what the bio for.
But that's a part of it, right?
Yeah, that's a part of it.
The bio is for you to say, oh, well, this is how they met the criteria. This is what they did, right? This is how they got here.
Nation development. I mean, you have to be able to say that you have contributed through blood, sweat, and tears.
And not just contributed, but you have contributed at such a significant level. Mm-hmm. But look here, we got two more calls. Take these two calls, and then we got to get to Labor on the Blocks 2.0. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron, good morning. Good morning, CEA.
Well, no, this is Mr. Ian Munnings.
Good morning.
Oh, Ian Munnings.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good morning. Sorry about that.
Morning, sir.
Listen, very interesting construct you guys mentioned just now. I love that idea of putting walls up at the sports center, especially, you know, I would have thought that they would have created murals to show our athletes as they enter into the sports center. Mm-hmm. The sports center.
That would have been one of the ideas I would have had. And like
exactly.
I was saying to Aaron is that that's called consultative work. I just gave it to them for free.
Right. And so that part, I think, still can be fleshed out and can be done because, I mean, they are actually represented the sports part of our culture as far as the country is concerned. So that is something that can be doable. I also like the aspect of where you mentioned about creating a mural for our national heroes. And we're talking about national heroes who have really made something,
contributions,
had really a very positive impact as far as the country is concerned. And the competition between the schools, I think that is a new dynamic that can be also fleshed out, actually, because it serves two or three folds. One, it would allow a school perhaps to adopt a national hero, put it in the syllabus for that term or for that year, for persons to really learn the work that they have done as it impacted the country positively. And also on the flip side, the representation of them, because a lot of our young people really do not know who our national, who our citizens are, who we term as national heroes. They don't know the impact that they really did serve as far as the freedoms and the expressions that we have in the country today. So that is something I hope the Ministry of Education would consider. And many of us, the artisans, and the art teachers, especially in these schools, will push that agenda to get the Ministry of Education to look at something like that. And I think it will also help with impacting the education aspect of the art as far as our schools are concerned. So a very good idea, and I applaud both of you for that initiative. Thank you
so much.
Listen, and look here, thank you for building it up, because while you were talking, I'm thinking athletes and islands of the Bahamas. Imagine you have Shawnee Miller Weibo. We ain't mad that you married her, but you know. We ain't mad that you married him and then became a citizen. We ain't mad at that, none of that. But imagine her, a mural with her diving into Dean's blue hole after the infamous dive where she won the gold medal, right? Imagine who's it, Gaither Charlton, high jumping, right? Like high jumping over Collins Wall to go get them oranges. Like imagine
that's an attraction for the tourists.
But so, it also the history, because you know how many young people don't know about Collins Wall.
Definitely.
But, and then us bougie people who grew up in the suburbs, who parents move us away from there and then don't ever tell us nothing.
The story about it.
Yeah. Because that's a lived... See, and that's what it is. That's a lived experience. The people who tell you the stories about Collins Wall tell you the story about jumping on their wall, or their grandfather told them the story about running and high, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the experience that we're trying to share. I feel you, what you were saying. Primarily for us.
Us.
Secondarily
yes.
for them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so, boy, this is in and of itself a great conversation. So before we go to the break, just a couple of names. I'm going to have to spend a day going through the names on the list because the names deserve to be mentioned, right? But I want to say, first of all, congratulations to Candy Gibson, who I think received the Order of Merit. I just want to take a moment to look at Candy Gibson. A lot of people would say, well, Candy Gibson younger than you, Aaron, how could she have achieved so much? But let me tell you all something. What Candy Gibson?
The impact.
Right. But what she's achieved from the formation of FOAM, Families of All Murder Victims, a support and advocacy group for the remaining relatives, right, those who have been left behind, to becoming a justice of the peace, right, to being involved at a policy level, at a state level, right, in anti-violence work.
That's tremendous.
Social services support work. The effort that Candy put in to do the work, to be there when people call.
And that's what a lot of people sometimes, I think, that we get sidetracked or may not look at it, that perspective. The hard work that persons that goes into creating these particular things or to make them a success.
Yeah.
That's relatively not spoken. That's like you're looking at a building when the scaffolding is there, but the only time you really get to see that is when you remove that and the building's already been painted.
Right. And then you forget all about the scaffolding.
You forget all about that.
But listen, I just want to say to Candy Gibson and to those, let me start here. Candy, congrats, man. But to those watching, there are many barriers. There are plenty of barriers. The world's set up with roadblock. But Candy Gibson is proof that if you put in the work consistently and you keep moving. Because guess what? Candy ain't even achieved her goal yet. And her goal is for a sustainable, safe house with income-generating mechanisms attached to it so people can transition into safe spaces and begin to support themselves, right? She ain't reached her goal yet. But this is her reward for pushing, for trying, for putting in the effort.
So that should give it a fuel to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw another name on this list. His name is Billy Lowe. And it's a posthumous, right? It's an honor given posthumously, so he's passed. And I'm trying to find out if this is my neighbor. He may be passed, but his family and his spirit's still there. If this is my neighbor. That's why it's so important that we have these bios, you know, so people could see how connected they are to the greatness, the process is driving.
Or why the opportunity arise for you.
Yeah.
They might have been the spark and that gave you the opportunity to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we want to say congratulations to all of the Bahamians that were honored this year in the National Honors program. Producer, I'm going to read this message from BTC, and then we are going to go to the break. You just got bumped up. BTC customers, bundled fiber customers, enjoy up to 3 times the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle, or even the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went up to 300 megabytes per second. Nothing to do? Just keep doing you. This message was brought to you by BTC. We're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, it's time for Labor on the Blocks 2.0. I changed my life again, Mr. Munnings. Now I want all the jobs. I feel like I want to become a politician now. I want all the jobs. When we come back from the break, Labor on the Blocks 2.0 with Mr. Ian Munnings. We'll be right back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Well, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You don't mind those little pauses, those little gaps of silence just now. I've been trying to play the song all morning, Mr. Munnings. I've been trying to play Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes that's the Ramming Brothers?
Ramming Brothers,
yeah,
yes.
By the Ramming Brothers.
Who's going to fill those shoes?
Who's going to fill their shoes, right?
That's huge.
Yeah, man. But it wouldn't play. You know what they're saying? They're saying, you better start filling our shoes right now. They say, you better go find another song just like this right now in case this one don't play. Right? And so, you know, this National Heroes Day, that's a most important question. Who's going to fill their shoes? It's an important question for young people because we expect young people to jump up and be ready to lead, but we don't prepare them to lead. We don't make a way for them, right? There's no succession planning. There's no preparation for leadership. We just, almost as if we're going to hold on.
Forever.
Till our last dying breath. I am not going to release the key to the filing cabinet until they're about to put me, when they put me in the ground, they're going to pop out the coffin.
I think the late Mr. Munro would have spoken to that. in mm-hmm. a dream like he said he would have had. Mm-hmm. I think he said that in this dream, it was a matter of, he said like a dead man was holding the baton. It was leadership he was speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadership got so power hungry or power struck. It was so difficult for them to pass this to a successor. The only way the successors would really get this baton is if they stand up now to pry it out of the dead man's hand. And dead doesn't relatively mean physically dead. It yeah. could mean that the ideas that you have is you just don't have any ideas for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important that we understand, like I think our brethren, Uncle Sarah, Calhoun, Reverend Cleveland Enius III from the Coptic Church,
mm-hmm.
He talks about sort of rites of passage a lot. And how, you know, how we're going to prepare the way. There are a lot of interesting, I'm going to say lessons, life lessons, he'll say rules for living for Africans and people in the world, but they are very big on rites of passage and preparing young people.
The next generation.
And the next generation to step into their role. We love to talk about the Joshua generation, right? We're waiting for the Joshua generation. We wait. But right now, we have the Joshua generation waiting. Like, we've convinced those who are actually the Joshua generation that they're still supposed to be waiting. You know? And so I love Labor on the Blocks 2.0 because we are making a way. We are ensuring that young people in particular, new workers, people new in the workforce,
Get an opportunity.
I think this is very important. So tell us about Labor on the Blocks 2.0.
The Labor on the Blocks is a conjunction between the Labor Board, through the Labor Institute, and the NTA's National Training Agency is BTVI, the Southern Shores Minister, which will be Leroy Major, and the South Beach Minister, which will be Mr. Marcus Rule. They've gotten together because a lot of times, you know, when persons campaign, they can find the grounds to work together. But once you are in that seat, most of the time, those ministers normally just do their thing.
Yeah.
So being that Southern Shores and South Beach were so close, they connected and they decided that, you know, we can do more if we get together because it's going to take all of us to make this reality happen. So they got together and said, okay, we're going to have this Labor on the Blocks. It's not going to be politically driven. It's not going to be all of that. The people need an opportunity. They need to get back working. The people of South Beach, Southern Shores, or wherever they are. So they got together, and then the job owners came on board, and they said, you know what? We are looking for people to be hired, and not just any job. These are some of the major employers in the country. They got together, and this time, and said, you know, we know that the country was slow-paced coming back together. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to accelerate that by hiring some persons and getting some things back in order.
Awesome. And so it's a nonpartisan,
mm-hmm.
right? Non-political. It's constituency-based.
Mm-hmm.
In conjunction with the Department of Labor.
Yes, sir.
And BTVI. This is awesome. Anatole Rogers High School.
It's Anatole Rogers High School.
This Saturday coming.
This Saturday.
9 to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Dear bus drivers, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to beg you to increase your presence on the road in those communities on Saturday. You know, 9 to 3 p.m. is the event. So y'all going to need to be running 7 to 4:35 heavy for people, because the people who need jobs sometimes they ain't got car. That's the reason they need job, right? Like make the link.
It takes all of us to make this thing a reality,
right?
And that's the thing the Bahamas was really known for, our close-knit way of life. So if we as a people understand the importance of doing that, like the bus drivers, like you said, illustration, get in those communities.
Yeah,
those people that don't have a car, bring them out.
Yeah.
Because if they work it now, they could pay your bus fare.
And if that's off your route, like I don't know if the bus goes all the way south onto Faith Avenue, you know, and I know it goes across Cowpen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it goes south down to the actual school. But bus driver, have a heart. Maybe go all the way down, swing back up, because you can pick up fares.
Yeah, for the Saturday, it's right. Going to increase your fares. Yeah,
there will be fares theirs. Anatole Rogers High School. 9 to 3 p.m., Saturday, October the 15th. Some of the participating potential employers. I saw Atlantis. Mm-hmm. I saw Bahama.
The new Hotel Goldwyn.
Right. I saw John Bull. I saw Osprey Construction. Let me tell you all, Osprey, let me tell you where I saw y'all other than that. It was by a red light, you know? You know where the story's going, right? Mm-hmm, Osprey mm-hmm, Construction. Mm-hmm. You all know where the story's going. Anyway, other employees, I said Bahama, I said Atlantis. There was John Bull. Oh, man, I forgot some of the names on the list, but there are some. The Ocean Club.
Atos, The Ocean Club, et cetera. Yeah. It's so much more. I mean, it's 45 employers.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest.
Now, it's at a high school, but is there a preference for young people? Are they focusing on young people or is it for any age range?
Any age range. The reality is, if you're not job ready, this is why the national the national agencies are going to be there, right? The mm-hmm. NTA. This is why BTVI is going to be out there. This is why Cybertech is going to be out there. This is the reason why, because if you're not job ready, then we want you to be signed up to get a skill to prepare you for the
job
readiness.
To be job ready. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Okay, so I have this header here, jobs, careers, and where do entrepreneurs find their ideas, right? But before we get there, let's go to tips for new employees, right? Because I think whether you're new to the workforce or new to the job, right, each workplace is different, may have a different, like it may be in the same field, but it may have a different work culture. Mm-hmm. And so I think that tips for new employees and potential employees is great too. A lot of young people don't realize that they lose the job before they get it, or they lose the job while they're still in their probationary period and they don't know why it is that they lost the job. So my number one tip is if you work in specific areas like culinary spaces where you're dealing with food, you wear aprons. If you work in a job where you wear scrubs, like you may be doing massage therapy or you may be doing makeup or any, right? That if you can, carry your uniform to work and then put it on while you're at work, right? When you're doing the food handling certificate course, they talk a lot about that. Your apron, you should not wear your apron on the way to work. Your apron should technically be sanitized when you first put it on, mm-hmm. right? When you're dealing with food. But a lot of people are still using public transportation, or they may be using the union bus, or they may be catching a ride to go to work. And so they don't really have control, right, over the space that they're in. And so one of the things I recommend to those new employees working in those spaces is, look here, find a bag that you can use to carry your uniform to work so that when you put it on at work, it is absolutely clean and pristine. At the same time, employers, why don't you all have lockers so that staff can put their clothes and their items, their things, their personal items securely in a locker? Right? People tend to use their phone. It's the next thing. New employees, don't be on your phone. Why are you on your phone?
Texting.
On the job. No customer should ever see you on your phone. Anyway, we got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, a couple of more tips for new employees. And then a job versus a career, how to turn a job into a career. Is entrepreneur a career? And I want to talk about sports and paradise and festival tourism.
I'm excited.
And how young people could turn that into career opportunities. That's the music. We got to go to a break. Stay tuned. You're on the clock with Erin Green.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW Committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame for constitutional reform, to integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know
know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Who's gonna stand that tall? Who's gonna make the effort to help us one and all? Who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you, Lord? I wonder,
tell me,
who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna fill their shoes,
people?
Who's gonna stand that tall? Who's gonna make the effort to help us one and all?
I wanna know,
who's gonna give their heart and soul to get to me and you?
Oh Lord, I wonder,
tell me,
who's gonna fill their shoes?
Good morning and welcome back. Thank you, producer. Thank you so much for keeping on to find that, because it's perfect just now.
Who's right? Going to fill those That's, shoes?
Right, and so they're playing that, and I'm thinking of my, like, just thinking of my own family, right? Like, who can fill Corinne Mitchell shoes, and who can fill Lisa Mitchell Powell Cambridge shoes, right? And who can fill Daddy-O shoes, and who can fill Bernard Green shoes, who can fill Una Hasty shoes, right? Like, and for each family, that's why, like, bios, the history is so important. Because
the matriarchs.
And patriarchs, right?
And patriarchs.
Who's going to fill those shoes? It gives you a sense of pride. It gives you a sense of purpose, right? Who's going to fill Helen Mitchell's shoes? Right now, that's a particular one, because Helen Mitchell was something huge to the Mitchell family. But Helen Mitchell was something huge to the world, to the country, to the Ministry of Tourism, to tourists, to people who may never come back to the Bahamas.
But they'll remember the name.
They'll remember her. In fact, they remembered her face. I get stopped by some tourists in the food store. They was like, listen, thank you, thank you, thank you. They want, like, almost wanted to tip me. I don't know who these people are, but I know that I'm a Bahamian. That means I'm a tourist ambassador, right? And so I pause. I don't suck my teeth and walk off. I pause, and then I realize, oh, you think you're talking to my auntie who worked for Ministry of Tourism, right? Like, who's going to fill these shoes? And all of us, see, it's a tremendous obligation. But it's an amazing opportunity, and all of us have that opportunity, right, to hold the weight of our ancestors. So thank you, producer, and thank you for the organizers of Labor on the Blocks 2.0.
We must thank the organizers, the director of labor. We have to thank Mrs. Miller at Labor, Mrs. Daniels at Labor. These are people, Ms. Kiki Barakas, these are people I'm talking about every day. Mm-hmm. That goes out there, and they're passionate about what they do. They're passionate about Bahamians. Yeah. They're passionate about getting them working. And this is something that I've seen sitting from the back and watching those individuals.
And and this is important, because there is dignity in work. All work is dignified. And if I could read, I went on to the Googles. I like the Googles because it's free. From Acklands, I like free things. The dignity of labor is the philosophy that all types of jobs are respected equally and equitably, and no occupation is considered superior, and none of the jobs should be discriminated against on any basis. Regardless of whether one's occupation involves physical work or mental labor, it is held that the job deserves respect. This is important. There's dignity and work, and working gives us dignity as well.
And honesty.
Right, the opportunity to work. This is so important for people. And so with that being said, like, we have to remember that. Y'all don't be making fun of your boy, right? Don't be making fun of the boy who helps the bus driver assistant, right?
I'll say something to that.
Yeah.
It isn't where you start, it's where you finish. You have a game plan. You know, most great things come from humble beginnings. We have seen billionaires come from garages. You know, we have seen persons that come from the ghetto with one parent, whether it's a father or a mother. We have seen them in society today. They have worked themselves to the top of the pinnacle. So with that being said, is that you have to have a set mind that where you start is not your ultimate stop.
Mm-hmm.
You can go forward.
And even if you don't sort of go forward, right, that you are doing your best.
Your best.
That no matter what the job is, that you've committed to putting your all into it and doing your best. And what we find here is that people do commit to that. People are raised like that, right? They come from homes where that is the central thread. You go out there and you represent yourself and this family by doing
well.
Your best and doing well. But they're stuck in environments that don't enable them to excel, don't enable them to do their best. And so they get frustrated with life, right? And so we say thank you to the employers that understand their obligation to their employees, right? More than just make it so they could come to work and make money for me.
Definitely.
Right? But that they understand that there is dignity in work, and the people that work for me should have dignified lives and also in the workplace. I want to say shout out to Sammy from Johnson Road. It's the whole Johnson Road community. We got some of the hardest working Bahamians in Johnson Road.
You know your neighbors. I know you know your neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up with them. I grew up with them and my old bougie unemployed self talking foolishness on the radio, right? But every day I see people who are committed to working in the community or outside of the community, you know? And so that gentleman, Sammy is one of the hardest working Bahamians we got. Anyway, he deserves honor and praise. Okay, so there's two things I had on the table. We got like 6 minutes left, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first, I think we're going to extend this for another conversation. I wonder if we have examined sufficiently the extent to which, see, I'm putting it together like a university question. Have we examined sufficiently the extent to which Atlantis and the year-round tourism product has shifted the way we do work in the Bahamas, right? I think we need more time
for that, yeah,
to flesh that one out.
But definitely we know that they have impacted the Bahamas. The Bahamas has changed tremendously due to them coming to the Bahamas. The roads were changed. The deployment would change. The level of tourists that came into the Bahamas has changed,
right?
Coming into paradise. So, you know, at one point in time, the biggest hotel at that time was Crystal Palace,
yeah,
with Phil Ruffin. And we've seen the impact that had. And
yeah,
when Atlantis came, it was like, that was like 5.0.
Yeah. And then what does it mean to go to work every month of the year? Before, we had models where there was a slow season.
Half on and half off.
Right. And now we have a different dispensation. But we're going to get into that because I think we're going to call some artisans into that conversation. So they had the question, the difference between a job and a career. A job is like something you just do and you get paid to do it. A career is a series of things that you do, right? I have these lovely little notes here that say a job can be taken away, a career cannot, right? Like you could fire me from working in your store, right, in bookkeeping, but I'll always be an accountant.
You can't take away the skill.
Right. You can't take away the skill. A career is adaptable and can take many twists and fit in with personal, societal, and technological changes, right? So yeah, as a street sweeper, that's what I do. It's 2022, though, and the government buy one machine, I drive.
Well, sweep the road.
Right. Right? So I still as a street sweeper. My career is the same.
The cost changes also because now it's come from me physically doing it, not to machinery.
Right, absolutely. And so then, an entrepreneur, right? An entrepreneur is, while entrepreneurism can entail starting a new business, a career track in entrepreneurship exists in nearly every industry or organization because entrepreneurs work to develop ideas, create and refine products and services, and grow companies and industries. Except in the Bahamas, you can't be an entrepreneur in somebody's company. Like you could be a consultant and you could show them how to grow, you know?
I have a saying.
Yeah.
Your imagination is your new currency, not the cash money. people have a lot of money, but they don't have the ideas. The idea trumps the cash.
Let me tell you something. I also believe that imagination is the most powerful tool in the advocate's toolkit, you know. But y'all economists like to tie everything to money. but this is it, right? Imagination.
The imagination.
So I was thinking about this, right? We expect government to create jobs, but that's not government's function. That's not their role. Their role is to create an environment
that you can thrive in.
That you could thrive in.
The opportunity to thrive in it.
And you could sustain yourself economically, right? The government also tends to focus on foreign direct investment versus local. Now, I'm going to say that with a grain of salt, right? Because perhaps I'm not seeing the dynamics clearly, right?
Would we know you are?
Perhaps I'm seeing it clearly. So what happens when your government has a particular agenda, they doing something, and you ain't really a part of it, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing I want to say is you are never not a part of what your government is doing. And so it's important for citizens to figure out or prepare themselves to be a part of, to benefit from, or to take advantage of projects or initiatives on the government's agenda. Mm-hmm. And so two of them I thought about quickly, and we're going to have to continue this conversation, is sports tourism. Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture announced that sports tourism is back. Right? Sports in Paradise, the brand Sports in Paradise is back.
For the 50th? Is that going to be the back for the 50th anniversary? Because I've seen on the card they have of the World Games and so forth coming up.
Oh, yeah,
for
the 50th. But it's been back before then. I mean, I think...
Well, we had COVID. We were locked down.
Well, no. Just since the opening. Even we've had the Anita Doherty athletics event. We've had Hoops in Paradise. We had Miami Heat come down and train. We had the summer.
That's a normalcy here. I mean, they were coming down here to the Bahamas. They loved the climate.
The Heat.
Loved
but then we had the collegiate basketball tournament.
In Atlantis.
I think, right? And then we've had a ton of things happening. We've had the golf, the football events. Jeff Rogers is working. No shade.
From my being a young, you'd go into the Jeff Rogers basketball camp. Right, he's been doing that.
So we could see from the announcement that Sports in Paradise brand is back, they have been working. So I think this is a perfect example or model to use for the discussion. What are the job, career, and industry, right? What are the new industries that can be developed out of the Sports in Paradise platform?
I have a few.
There you go. But we can get to that.
I have a few.
Right? From jobs to careers, even if you're not directly involved in the sporting world, right? Like you're not a coach, you're not an athlete, you're not a large company that's sponsoring and selling products at the event. There's tons of opportunities for you to jump in to this economic environment.
Well, 95% we have good weather in terms of heat, sun. Right. Where's the sports hospitals?
Right, for dehydration, for overheating.
But athletes that are injured in the U.S. that do not want to be in the U.S. where they have some paparazzi, et cetera. Yeah. You're in paradise. We have all kind of keys and islands.
I'm thinking some simple things like if you're going to have the College Bowl, you're going to have the big football game in December, I'm going to start a small company that provides tailgating services, buddy. Right? I mean, we have the waste management companies that do the porta potties.
Are you serving gourmet soda or are you serving collect?
Oh, Lord. Okay, wait, I'm making my own punch. I'm making my own rum punch.
What that name?
I can't tell you on the radio because I ain't got no license yet. But I would have mobile shower and bathroom facilities available, right? Like, there are all kinds of massage and physical therapy mobile services, custom merchandising. I can print your T-shirt at the stadium while you're getting ready to go in the game, or after the stadium, after your team done beat up everybody, right? Like that.
What's your slogan on it?
But I can't tell you that, man. You're trying to take
create it and the people will buy.
There you go. And if we couple, I know we all out of time, so that's sports tourism, right? And then we got festival tourism. Do you know that we could have a major event every month, right? One from sports and one from festival tourism.
Well, Bahamas is known to do that. That's what we used to do.
Right. We could revamp the entire economic model, providing a more culturally appropriate or sensitive working model for Bahamians. We subsistence people. We like wake and take vacation, right? And so labor on the blocks is
2.0.
Right? Start there.
Saturday is going to be 9 until 3. We're going to have over 45 major employers is going to be out there. The labor team has worked extensively. The Minister Marcus Rule and the Minister, Mr. Leroy Major, they have worked tirelessly together to make this a success. So people, come out, be prepared, because it's going to be hiring on the spot.
Bring your cousin, bring your neighbor, bring your grandson. And oh, they say the bus is stopped at Carmichael by Quarter Motel, and you got to walk all the way down there. They're bus drivers. Do a solid.
And if they're not job ready, BTVI is going to be available, CyberTech and NTA. So let's come out and let's make it happen.
Bring them out in droves. They come in by plane. They come in by boat, by plane. They come in a wheelchair, even with cane. Accept them. Thank you, producer. We're all out of time. Thank you, Ian, this morning for this wonderful conversation. I'm going to see you soon. But you guys, stay tuned. Cecil Newey, Guardian Radio AM, is up next.
Edward, who's gonna fill that shoe?
My Lord, I think about Winston Sanders.
Saunders. Who's gonna fill that shoe?
Good God, I'm talking about the nation leaders.
Who's gonna fill that shoe?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.